In today's episode, Samantha remembers a victory. I keep forgetting about Indy, and Mike just wants us to be fair. This is Star Wars, Yoda's Stories. With that, I guess we'll say welcome to Fun Sphere Game Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
Josh, am I?
What?
It's something new. I'll give you that.
May and the fourth be with you. I'm Milk.
Okay.
The cat.
Wow.
Meow.
Well, today, folks,
I'm
we're
a holocron.
About... Oh,
I'm
okay.
I'm an amulet.
I'm a coupling.
I'm the same song over and over the whole time.
Yeah, you play the PC version. I don't even want to talk about it. Except
all right,
we
well,
will be
today,
talking about it.
Yes, we will indeed. We're going to be talking about Star Wars Yoda's Stories. All right, so here's the very, very brief rundown on this, because this is kind of an obscure game, and there's definitely a lot of stuff written about it. So Star Wars Yoda's Stories is a 1997 adventure video game, that's generous, based on the Star Wars franchise developed by LucasArts.
Wait!
Okay. Developed, that's generous.
Yeah.
So there is a little more to that adventure game. They had planned for it to be a series of casual games on the PC.
Yes, they did. And it's actually the second in a series of casual games on the PC.
Out of two.
That's correct.
It was a colossal swing and miss.
Yes, all right. So... just to kind of give you guys a heads up about what this is. So this was developed in 1997. As Mike mentioned, it's part of a what they would call casual procedurally generated gameplay. It's preceded by
what did they call it? It was Desktop Adventures. Was that right?
Indiana Jones and his Desktop Adventures.
I just think of Indiana Jones sitting behind a computer, like the
trying to figure it
the
out.
Card catalog digital system.
Just like so, typing one key at a time.
Yeah. So basically, this was designed and sold as, hey, you know when you're at work and you got like 5-10 minutes before lunch, you don't want to do anything. So you would typically pull up Solitaire or something
or
like
God
that, right?
Or God forbid Minesweeper.
Or Minesweeper. So this game was literally designed to compete with those type of games. Actually, even on the back of the box, this game takes a swipe at Solitaire. It says, you'll never play Solitaire again.
Well.
They were wrong.
That's correct. All right, so just one other quick note. Yoda's Stories holds IGN's lowest ever review rating for the Game Boy Color version of 1999 with a score of 2 out of 10.
Out of every game ever?
Yes, apparently for the Game Boy Color at least.
Yeah, well, for the Game Boy Color so, maybe. I was going to say there's still some top trumps on that one.
I was going to say, but Computer Gaming World gave the Windows version a 1 star out of however many stars they had. So not much love for this game. And I'm going to say rightfully so.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So what did you guys think of the game?
I had such a terrible headache after playing this. I didn't even play the whole thing. I got maybe an hour, 20 minutes in.
Okay.
And my head was hurting so bad. I was like, I can't play this anymore.
The movement in the game is very jarring. And I challenge you, Samantha, to go watch the Game Boy Color version now. Especially the Game Boy Color screen blown up to big screen on the Raspberry Pi, which is how I just revisited this monstrosity. But, oh, yeah, it's... I would argue that it gives more headaches than the Virtual Boy ever did.
So, I did actually watch a little bit of the Game Boy one just to make sure I could see any story stuff. But again, I turned it off because it was the Star Wars song over and over again. The lightsaber sound effect sounded too much like a bee or something buzzing near me.
The Game Boy version was not even the full version of the Star Wars theme.
That's right. It was scaled down.
And it looped that same goddamn song. The same third of its song over and over.
So, I'm not too familiar with this game particularly, but I'll say this. I was like, at least they were kind of honest in their marketing for this game. It's like, look, this is not a full-out game. This is something to spend, 5 or 10 minutes. Again, to refer back to their box, because I don't have a lot of other notes to go to. It kind of sells the game as quick, challenging, fun for all ages and skill levels. And the fact that, the Windows version literally plays in a small window is hilarious to me. I mean, it's Windows 95 as you can get, folks.
I finally get to experience Windows 95.
So I don't understand how this game came on my radar. I remember it vividly, though. I was staying the night at Jeffrey's house. And, God, I would... I guess it was 98 or 99, because the PC version had been out.
Yeah.
And we were like... Oh my God, there's the Star Wars game that we never heard of. And I ended up getting the Game Boy Color version pretty soon after it came out. So middle school me would have been psyched to review this game or talk about it. But you know that thing where you remember stuff in the past and you see it in a much higher esteem. That was definitely the case here.
Okay, so I have a theory about how young Mike became so hyped for this game, all right? So here it goes. So let's just say the fine folks at marketing at LucasArts looked at the Indiana Jones game and said, all right, this game is called Indiana Jones' Desktop Adventures, right? It's quick and easy. It's literally just to mess around on your Windows desktop. I don't think it sold too well. And so I think they said, how do we spin this to get more people to buy this game? Let's call it Yoda's Stories. Let's hype one of the most mysterious characters. It's like, so when I first tangentially heard about this game, I was just remember being at on a Wikipedia dive or something like that. And I saw this game was called Yoda's Stories. And I was like, whoa, a game about Yoda that we've never heard of or I've never played? And I was like, oh no. So I'm just going to, spoil it for everybody. Yoda has nothing to do with this game.
Yes, he does.
He's in it.
He gives you the missions.
You could have called this R2-D2 Stories, too. It could have been any other sprite. Yoda has nothing to do with this.
I don't agree with that. He definitely does. So the game takes place between Empire and Return of the Jedi in that whole unused gap of when Luke was training to be a Jedi.
Excuse me, unused? Incorrect, sir. There was another game that came out a year before this. It was of the Empire. Correct.
But that had nothing to do with Luke.
It had, not really. But
they just wrote him off as, oh yeah, he's Jedi training. So he's I can see where the idea for this came about. And I could see, like, from a marketing standpoint, they're like, hey, we want to take this audience. We want to bring in more casual players and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the game on its own was a little more complex than the casual pickup could have been. Like, there's a lot of really mysterious, like, you have to go talk to all these NPCs. That's not a pickup and play kind of idea. Clicking on random objects. Tools. Yeah, and then the biggest thing between the PC and the Game Boy is, so apparently the PC version is randomly generated.
Yes.
Which is something I had never known about, because the Game Boy version is, that's what you get.
Yep. Yes, it is. It's one of those things that they promise, like, hours and hours of gameplay because it is random. It randomly assigns different things and stuff like that. Which I'll say, for 1997, that's pretty impressive, I think.
I guess, but they were such specific puzzles. Like, you're here on this world finding this item, or you have to collect this. So where you collect the stuff is different. It's like a bastardized version of the second playthrough of the original Zelda. The dungeons are scrambled, but you get the same idea. Yeah.
Exactly. That's a good comparison, Mike. Way to go. I think it's pretty well known for any of our listeners here that we've brought up Star Wars a couple hundred thousand times in this podcast. I know I'm a pretty big fan. I think Mike is a pretty big fan. Samantha, you've always been, I'll just say, in my opinion, non-committal. Do you care for Star Wars or not?
I like it. It's just not, like, I don't feel super strongly about it.
Okay. So, like I said, I'm glad Mike brought up Shadows of the Empire first, because I was like, now that was an N64 game, and that was a game that I wore out on my N64. And I also remember, like, the Shadows of the Empire thing being a huge marketing push. And the fact that, like, I would be more forgiving of this game if it came out prior to that. Like, if it was like Windows 95 and 1995 is when this thing came out, I'd be like, okay, they were just trying to do that before they went on to bigger things. But the fact that this was released afterwards, it just makes me,
again, come on. Let's. I think the game is just as shitty as you do, but let's be fair about it. It wasn't trying to be the same type of game.
But, like, the fact that it was trying to be in that same time period is what I was saying. Because I was like, well, why didn't they try to tie it in more? I was like, oh, well, I guess the product kind of says for itself why they didn't try to call it in more.
Because they were tying it into Solitaire.
that's what they should have done, is just a Star Wars skin on Solitaire.
Yeah.
They've done it before. There is a Star Wars chess game and stuff like that. And, you know, it's not like Lucasfilm and then Disney now are not afraid of licensing out Star Wars to everybody.
I remember the first time I beat Solitaire.
You don't say.
You don't say. He says as he holds up a Baby Yoda thing.
It's a candy dispenser.
You know his name's Grogu.
I hate that name.
Is that really his name? Ugly. Oh, I haven't seen the second season yet.
Oh, spoiler. Maybe I'm lying.
She's not. All right, so I wanted to bring up, like, LucasArts as a video game company. Of course, they don't exist anymore. But I've always found it weird. They have, like, this, I don't know if it's necessarily nostalgic, something like that, of, they kind of get the benefit of the doubt of being a really good game company, but then they make stuff like this, and there are other terrible Star Wars games and Indiana Jones games and stuff like that.
You could say that about Lucasfilms also.
Oh, yeah, I actually have that in my notes. I was like, it's kind of weird that it's like, you can make an analogy for when George Lucas.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think it's that weird once you factor what the company was named off of.
Yeah, and I was like, it's the best Star Wars stuff is made when he's not involved, And I think some of the best Star Wars games are made when LucasArts is not involved.
Just
and maybe
look.
as a producer or something like that.
That's just like what Skib was saying to me when we were watching Star Trek Next Generation. He said the creator of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry, was heavily involved in the first season or two, and it's garbage. It's absolute garbage. And then as soon as he died or something, the show got great.
Oh.
That's funny. Sometimes you have to kill your creator.
I just think it's weird because Star Wars games, I mean, they should be, like, I would think some of the most best-selling games of all time, and that everybody should be fighting for the license, and you should see a lot of really creative stuff from it.
Well, I mean, when you have an in-house studio, I think that that kind of skews everything from the beginning. Like, there is no competition. It's just, hey, you guys are here, so you're this new studio.
But then they made really good stuff that's not Star Wars. Like, they made Maniac Mansion. They made...
Yeah, but I think that they... Like, Maniac Mansion was an idea where they were like, okay, well, games are going to make money, maybe. We'll give it a shot. We have no idea how they work. So they got total creative freedom, and it was a couple of people that wanted to actually do stuff. But I think George Lucas was part of the reason why the show was so shitty, too. From what I read.
Wow.
Which show are you, Maniac Mansion?
Yeah.
Oh, where did you hear? I didn't see anything about him being related or something like that. Oh. Do you care to share?
I thought it was a video that I watched.
Oh.
Now I don't know if this is about Yoda stories. I know that he poked his head in something game-related that ultimately ended up making it a lot worse.
I know he killed like 1313, which was going to be really cool.
No, that was Disney. Disney owned it at that point.
He was involved in that too, and they were going to make a Darth Maul game, and he wanted some weird stuff in that, and they were like, "We'll just cancel it."
Darth Maul's Maul Adventure. Go shopping.
You're on a mission to find your torso.
In one of these stores in the Mall of America.
So that was all right, so we're talking our love of Star Wars. So I'll admit my obsession with Star Wars happened around the fourth grade.
Okay.
And it went to the sixth grade, I think. And, like, I always had an appreciation of it afterward, but I never had that level of, like, I'm really excited about the lore and all that kind of stuff that I had from fourth to sixth grade, where I knew who Max Rebo was or anything like that. Like, it kind of dropped off. Yeah. And I remember being excited for Phantom Menace. I remember not hating it like a lot of people hated it, at least then. But you have to remember, I think I was in seventh grade.
I loved that.
No,
I was
sixth
in fifth
grade.
And I loved that movie when it came out. Loved it. But I was 11.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, you hear the same thing with the generation before us fucking despised Return of the Jedi.
Oh, I know.
Because they were like, no, it's for kids.
So as the oldest here, I will just say I was a little bit more into Star Wars and stuff like that. I read the books and stuff like that. So I was way into the lore and stuff like that. I especially loved the games, like the Super Nintendo trilogy I thought was super good. Like I said, I loved Shadow of the Empire and stuff like that. And then I kind of started getting out of it when the Phantom Menace came out. I don't think it was a bad movie when it first came out. Like, it gets a super ton of hate now. And I'm like, yeah, it's rightfully so to say it's not a good movie or even a... But I was like, it's a Star Wars. Believe me, I don't think any of the Star Wars are, like, hold them up on the top 10 movies of all time.
I think a lot of the hate is because they were the pioneers of the digital era of film. It might as well be the Nintendo 64 PlayStation 1 era. It, like, it does not hold up well. If you go back and watch it, it looks so jarring.
No, I was going to say that, too. But I was also, and George Lucas was involved, and he wrote and directed that movie, and I was like, he had been out of the game a long time, and it showed.
I really love Rogue One.
Okay. Huh. But,
You didn't?
Yeah.
I enjoyed Rogue One.
I don't know why. It was one of those things. It was, for me, Rogue One, I watched it, and I remember having a book by my side at that time while I was watching it, and I remember at the end of the movie, I was reading the book instead of watching the movie.
I think
Skid doesn't like it either, but for me, one of the saddest things, like, what always gets me is, like, squashed potential for characters, and so you had all those characters with, like, they would all grow into something super cool, and then they just got snuffed out.
Well, see,
that's
what I was most worried about, is, like, everybody knew the story going into it. Like, there's no reason. And the whole time I was watching the movie, I was like, God damn it, it's Disney. They're going to try to squeeze this for every goddamn dime. And they're gonna find some way to make these people live, and it's going to be disgusting.
Cassian were supposed to make it, but they rewrote it.
I'll say this about one of the reasons I didn't care for Rogue One or Solo or any of the new Star Wars stuff. Because I have been that fan that read the books and knew all the lore and stuff like that. I think Rogue One didn't do anything for me as a fan because I already knew about all these stories in between and stuff like that. And I'm also a big proponent of, I want to see them do something new with Star Wars. I'm okay with the Skywalker saga ending at Return of the Jedi. I didn't personally think they needed to do anything more. I think you could make movies during the Old Republic and stuff like that, where some other games and like that are set that have great stories and stuff like that. Like, if someone wanted to make Knights of the Old Republic into a movie, I think you have a blockbuster on your hands. You start exploring stuff from the Star Wars universe not related to the Skywalkers. I think it's playing it safe, I think, to keep doing the Skywalker story.
I really like the new group, like the new gang for Star Wars. I like Rey, I like Finn, I like Poe. I really like them, and I hope that there's a like Clone Wars animated series with those characters, because I think they deserve so much more.
Ooh,
I really like them.
So, one thing I did want to talk about is a lot of people take the lore that they've read from like side stories way too much into it. It used to offend me way more than it does now, just because we've seen the slow deterioration of what George Lucas has to the stuff. But I remember a point where there was that first Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah.
That was out. And then this guy that I was friends with, he was really pissed off that what's his name with he's like a robot with four hands.
Grievous.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Curry does his voice.
So apparently he's the ultimate badass. And the same thing happened with Darth Maul. Like, he's in the extended lore, he's supposed to be the ultimate badass. Oh my god. And
yeah.
In the context of the movie, gets chopped down in a couple of seconds. And I would still side with the movie version.
He comes back in the cartoon.
Yep, he does. So, yeah.
Just
I think
like
Mike's
Boba Fett. Like, he died, but everybody loved his character, so they tried to justify any means of keeping him alive. Like, the movie's the ultimate art form for this story, so... Why?
It should supersede.
Yeah.
It should supersede everything. I agree. And like I said, I, as someone that loved what they call the expanded universe and stuff like that, I was fine with it. Like, I didn't think you have to do everything as in the stories that have been laid out by others and stuff like that. But I think you can pay homage to it. And I think the thing that made me maddest when these new movies were announced and stuff like that, where
they erased it.
Luke, Yeah, they said, yeah, thanks for all your money over the years. We're not, that no longer counts. And I just think that the way they handled it and the way they announced it was poorly done. So that kind of already soured me from the beginning. But like I said, I hope that one day there will be new, exciting Star Wars movies. And like I said, I'm perfectly fine. And games. I would love to see some new games. Like 1313 sounded cool. Like a Red Dead Redemption type game with a bounty hunter.
I mean, hell, why didn't they take a Ken Levine approach? Yeah, not only are they different universes and yeah. galaxies, but they're different universes and galaxies.
Exactly.
So yeah. that we can still have everybody's story, everybody's timeline, mm-hmm. and none of it matters. Hell,
that's.
I mean, Disney's already so blatant. They could just be like, here's the 20 to 30 year old Star Wars universe. Here's the 30 to 40 year old Star Wars universe.
True. They could do that. Well, does anybody have anything left to say about the game we were supposed to be talking about?
No.
It was fucking garbage and it didn't deserve a word of speaking about.
I agree.
No, it wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't terrible. I will say this. When I started doing the research for this, I keep forgetting that Indiana Jones is a thing. So I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, I should really go back and watch the Indiana
Jones.
Isn't
he coming back?
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that recently. I'm like,
Fleabag's
I don't understand
in it.
Why. Who?
Phoebe Waller.
Oh, I thought you meant Flea. Like from the Chili Peppers.
That'd
yes, be kind of cool.
The basis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
He'll be playing a live action version of Donnie from Wild Thornberries and just doing that voice the whole time.
Now that is that's a movie I think that would be worth it.
That'll be in the expanded universe of Indiana Jones.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for Yoda's Stories. So we thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
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 Happy May the 4th. It's
May
4th.
The 4th be with you.
That's why we did this.
This is the worst Yoda impression ever. And it gets like higher in my throat over here.
That's Miss Piggy.
Turning into.
At least you.
I'm keeping it in the
Muppet universe.
I was gonna say, at least it's Frank Oz. He did the voice for both of them. So there you go.
Hey,
nice.
Miss Piggy Stories 2023.
Calling it now.